May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our first lesson today in the book of the Acts of the Apostles is the center of what we celebrate today. Jews from all over were gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the end of the Jewish Feast of Weeks, the Barley Festival. The 50th day of the Feast of Weeks, the day after a perfect 7 weeks of 7 days each, was known as Pentecost, from the Greek Pentecostos Himera, the 50th day. And that day came to be the celebration of the giving of the law to Moses from God, to the people through Moses from God. And the followers of Jesus gathered inside somewhere. These were also Jews, Jewish Christians, though they hadn't been called that yet. They were followers of Jesus as the resurrected Messiah. They were perhaps still hiding from the authorities. We've heard stories about that in the past few weeks. And all of a sudden, they heard a sound like a blast of wind. The author is careful not to say that it was a wind, but it sounded like it. In the Semitic languages, as in Greek, the word for wind, like that, and the word for spirit are one and the same. So I take it that what the author means is that they heard the descent of the Holy Spirit. And you couldn't just hear it, you could also see it. For there were tongues like fire on the heads of each of them. Again, the author is careful to say not that there was actual flame on the heads of each of them, though we often picture it that way, but it looked like it. And whatever happened, it was so vivid, you could both see and hear it. And the Christian church was born out of this enthusiasm and this hope and this excitement. A new breath of the Spirit was blowing into the world. A new fire burned in people's hearts. That fire in people's hearts is described at the end of Luke, the 24th chapter, in the walk to Emmaus. And out of this enthusiasm, our church was born. Sometimes people hark back to this story with a longing that, you know, wish we could experience something like that. And many people think of Pentecost as something that happened back then, and we really haven't seen it again since. I don't think that's true. Many things have happened since Pentecost, which have been equally an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Like when John Wesley, a proper Anglican priest, felt his heart suddenly warm and was called. He was already a priest. He had been so for many years. He was called to take the gospel out into the fields and the coal mines and into the prisons. And a new awakening happened. There were some folks out in the country on the windward side of Oahu, and they gathered 70 years ago to form the church that became first known as St. Christopher's in the Pines. The Holy Spirit was moving, and you could see it and feel it then. I don't see why these things and many other things like them, even today, are not as blessed in the results and in the startling manifestations as Pentecost. The birthday of an institution is a little bit like the birthday of a person. We're celebrating Dean's 90th birthday. He's sleeping in today, I guess. Sleeping last night off, perhaps, of his celebration. And it is also Ernie Harris's birthday, by the way. So let him know, that both of them know, that you wished them happy birthdays. But the birthday of an institution is like the birthday of a person. The first one probably is the most important one. And if you don't have that first birthday, you don't have any of the others that follow. But how could we have gotten along without those first 3,000 souls? Yes, 3,000, you read a little bit further along in the second chapter of Acts. 3,000 souls came together to bring life to the church. Breathe into it new life. They gave us our start. Too many people today, they hear no wind of the Spirit blowing, they see no tongues as of fire on anybody's head. And you know, I think it's not a sign of the times. I think if they'd been there at the house at Pentecost, they probably wouldn't have seen it or heard it then either. Does Pentecost excite you? I see some of you dressed in red and pink and orange and yellow, colors of fire that indicate that it excites you. At least the idea of getting up on a Sunday morning in May and dressing that way excites you. But I think even some of you are equally excited who aren't in red today. Still, that excitement, in spite of it, in the back of some people's minds, I know that you remember, you think about disheartening surveys in which the number of Christians is going down, while the number of nuns, and that's N-O-N-E-S, no religion, is going up. And lots of our families are away, not just on Memorial Day weekend, I think, but the pews are not as full here or really pretty much anywhere in mainline churches today. And sometimes that gets people down. I hear them talking, I get down too. But you know, whenever I start hearing too much talk about it, either in my own head or anywhere around, I turn to, besides the Bible and the Book of Common Prayer, one of Diana Butler Bass's books, one of her many books. This is only one of them. It says, Christianity After Religion. But let the title get you down. I'll explain why I think that's a good title. Diana was assigned as the reader to my doctoral thesis in 2005 when I was at Virginia Seminary. And she was there too. She has a PhD in religious studies from Duke. Had taught at Westmont College in Santa Barbara, and then was taught us some classes, a few classes at VTS, but she was really there on a study fellowship from the Lilly Foundation, studying the vitality of mainline churches. And she recognizes, like many of us do, that we are in a crisis in our churches. Things aren't working the way that they used to, and some people are fearful about the future of the church as we know it. She gave a talk at St. Clement's by the Sea just a few days ago. She was a scholar in residence for a week, and I went with retired priest Bruce Kraft, and he's just as excited as she is, although they've been hearing bad things about the church, and if you've read bad things about the spirit of the church and negative things, people have been writing on it as far back as Bonhoeffer. Harvey Cox wrote about it, The Secular City, when I was a student in seminary up in Boston, and he was there. But they're both still excited. Harvey Cox talked about how it used to just make him cringe when people would say, well, I'm spiritual, but not religious. And it makes me cringe sometimes. The word religion is really a good word, actually. It's religio, binding us together, something that binds us together. And this Christianity after religion sort of is sort of a suggestion that the word religion has changed in many ways. And people talk about the institution, that the institution is the issue. Well, Diana and Harvey and others are still excited about Christianity. And Diana actually believes that we're in the midst of a great awakening, not unlike that which has gone before and changed the religious landscape in our country. She talks about revivals and reawakenings. And revivals, a lot of times you're trying to revive, go back to something that was. Where reawakening, you're moving into something brand new. And there was an awakening in the 1700s in our country. A revitalization of piety in worship. Piety is a positive term. At that point, the Puritans had control of our country pretty much, and you heard a 2 or 3 hour sermon about intellectual stuff, just intellectual stuff. And the piety in worship that returned was a move from religion as an intellectual exercise to that of really a profound emotional experience, a relationship with Christ and with one another. Another great awakening in the 19th century focused on Christian action. Our faith as something we do, not just something we experience. There was a great movement toward what today we call outreach, the social gospel. What we do in IHS and Family Promise, very much like that. That was a part of that great awakening. And Diana believes that we're in the midst of yet another great awakening, and that we'll be able to look back on this time as a period of great cultural revitalization and profound reorientation, transforming the meaning of faith and our practice of faith. Now, why does she believe so? What signs are around? She knows that the data is clear, that religious affiliation is plummeting across denominations. And yet, spirituality, that word, spirituality, is on the rise. She argues that we are experiencing a spiritual awakening. There's a hunger out there. Even with people not here, there's a spiritual hunger and spiritual interest, and you hear it all the time. That shows up in data too, as a matter of fact. So, walking through this spiritual awakening, what is it going to look like? I know somebody asked me just this past week, okay, so we're on the way to something new. What's it going to look like? What'll it look like? Hard to say. I've never heard anybody really describe it either. But Diana believes, and I agree, that we're sort of right now on the bridge, moving from old to new. And it's hard to see across a bridge as to what it's going to be like on the other side. And some want desperately to hold on to the old, to revive the old. We bring some of the old with us. There's no question about that. But Diana still urges us, and I urge us, to keep on moving forward. That's the way we are supposed to be moving forward, just like our spiritual forebears before us had. That day in Jerusalem, do you think they knew what was going to happen, what was coming afterward? They didn't have a clue. But they moved forward. They felt the Spirit propelling them, and they moved in faith. They couldn't have imagined what was going to happen after that. So I urge you to keep awake, just like the Bible tells us, to watch and listen. Listen, because the wind of the Spirit, it blows through the world today just as strongly as it did in that day of Pentecost. And when you see it, and when you hear it, don't be silly and dismissive and just say, oh, those people, they're drunk. But say with Peter, because it's the truth, this is that which was spoken through the prophet. I will pour out my spirit upon them. God's words to us. Keep your eyes open and your ears pricked, for to all those who can see and hear and understand, the day of Pentecost is always here. Not just 2,000 years ago, not just today, not just once a year on some Sunday in May. It is always here. Pentecost is always here. Every day, in every place, we thank God for the power of that remarkable and mysterious but strong Holy Spirit. Amen.